The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Yeah, Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. But that doesn't mean they're not fun and they'll make you smile. And that's nice. Isn't it nice to smile? Knock, knock, who's at the door? The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Oh, yeah, he's going to be coming back much sooner, so you can't fake like you're getting busy. You got to be busy for the kingdom. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we decide, hey, I'd like to grow in the Lord. Also, humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Did a little flipperoo on you for the music. I think you guys will survive it. Local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Now, what's that like? That's like when you have a phone like Dave does, and all the texts go in and out and send out at different times. If you got a text at 3 in the morning, I'm sorry. I didn't do it. It's the program. But here's the deal. The deal is you can have all of that going on and recognize, you know what? None of that matters. This is what matters. When I was spending time in prayer this morning with the Lord, he was visiting with me, and I was connecting with him, touching base, so to speak. And I kept thinking, I can't wait until there's no more separation between us and the Lord. How glorious that's going to be. How great the peace of God. How great the presence of God. How great the anointing of God. If you're unfamiliar with that, ask him to reveal himself to you. He will. Study his word. Make it a diligent effort to pray and seek his face. He'll visit. And you know what? He loves to visit with his kids. He loves you so much, he's going to spend eternity with you. All right, now, I'll get off my soapbox real quick. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we, of course, don't want you to let that die of loneliness. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you have something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life. Perhaps you have a praise report that you want to share, or even Bible trivia, which we'll get to a little later on. That's okay. In the meantime, you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770, where Amazing Jennifer... That's you. Can't hear you. What?
I don't know how amazing I am this morning.
Well,
today.
Well, you know, it's what's great about the way that we set up the program. If once I recognize what was going on, you can just bounce from thing to thing.
That's true. Yes.
That's kind of like the best part about it.
Yeah, I was just keeping you on your toes.
And I appreciate
that. No problem.
You're still amazing. I don't care. Anyway, so if you call 972-445-0770, you'll get to touch base with her, and then you get to be on the show. In addition, you can text 214-210-8483. Now, when you do that, I'm hoping that my phone does not draw you through your phone into my phone and then just plant you in my phone. I just don't know if that's going to happen or not. You got to take your chances. It's worth it, because the worst thing that can happen is that you see the Lord. That's the best thing that can happen, isn't it? 214-210-8483. You can also email David at hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Comes right here to my computer, right in front of me. It's a good way to get a hold of us. It's the most reliable way that we've ever come across. Here's the bottom line. That email is connected to our website, hemustincrease.org. The reason that's important is because we have that opportunity to connect with people through there. You can also put private prayer requests on that website anytime. You just click the little box that says private. Nobody ever gets to find out about it. We just pray about it as a ministry team. Nobody knows what's going on. You're welcome to do that anytime you want. Plus, there's praise, there's little praise audios, and there's little challenges, there's different videos, and a few funny things on there as well, and it's also a place to give. We don't want to discourage you from that, ever. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Nick, I think we're kind of back on track now. I'm feeling pretty good. We feel on track, aren't we?
I think so. Yeah, we're good to go now.
Okay, we're good. You're not going to like this. Do you have the read and ramble sound? I did forget to mention that to you.
I do. I see it right here.
Can you play that real fast?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm ramming.
That's right. Blin. Okay, here's the beginning of our show. You better get ready for this. This is going to absolutely floor you. Kirk, I hope that it's working out for you so you're able to hear what's going on, because I was concerned there for a second. Here is what we're going to pick up from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to go through 1 and 2 real quickly to get to verse 3. So I'm not going to exposit again on 1 and 2, which I did last week. That says, therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For, oh, this is so bad, you died. Some of the things about Paul when he writes, you're just like going, what? Wait, what? We were just talking about all this great stuff. What? I just want to say, if you're a young Christian, a new Christian, or just coming into the faith, or you've been in faith a little bit, maybe a year, two, three, maybe you're a little more seasoned, you've been in the faith 5 or 10 or 15 years, perhaps you've been in the faith 20, 30 years, 40 years, plus 40 years like myself, here's the most wonderful thing you're going to hear me say. Welcome to Christianity. Now we are dead. And you're thinking, wait, what? What? And see, this is a big part of the Christian walk. Now, I know there's some people, even here in Texas, that are like, you're not dead. It's like, you are if you're a Christian. Because what you did when you were baptized is you identified with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means you're not just identifying with his death, but you're joining him in the death of yourself. Oh, ouch! Pull it out, Dave. That's just, oh my, let's get that knife out of my back. Okay, here's the bottom line. Paul says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, all of those great books, those self-help books, those I'm going to make you better books, some of them are actually quite encouraging. I don't want to say that every single thing everybody says is bad. That's more Eeyore-ish. But let's at least understand this. If you really want to find yourself, let's use the Jesus program. Jesus said, if you want to live, die. You want to find life? You want to find your purpose? Cease your purpose. Find your purpose in Christ, from which you were and for which you were and towards which you were created. The amazing, yeah, I did that without the A. The amazing, there's the A, thing about this whole thing is that once you figure out that it becomes the end of you, your real life begins. Once you figure out and what happens, and I'd like to be honest about this because we're Christians, we need to be kind of more transparent and more open with one another. We do a lot of, I'll die to this, I'll die to this, I'll die to this. But this area, I don't know. Or you have an area you're struggling with, to die more in, so to speak. Now, ultimately, it's supposed to be all from A to Z that you die before the Lord in, and he resurrects you, gives you new life, new purpose, gives you the real meaning of your existence. Because certainly your existence is not to wait in traffic, to pay your rent or to pay your mortgage, to pay health bills or to watch your body deteriorate as you get in excess of 20. Because once you're after 20, that's when all these weird things start to happen. And you can tell me you feel invisible at 30, but by the time you get to 40, you know, uh-oh, something is happening. Here's why I'm bringing all that up. Because in every area of life that we try to make it better, the real answer is to let it go in God so he can make it better. You see what I'm saying? We're trying to find ourselves. Your mission is to die to yourself. Like I said, there's a couple of pastors in Texas that are like, no, no, it's all about, you know, you getting everything here, and you should be this here, and you should be this here. You will never, watch this, ever, ever, ever be satisfied on this side. Period. You can have moments of happiness. You can have moments of joy. You can have even the spirit of joy operating in you. You will never find the fullness that you are searching for inside of you on this side. Sorry. Just got to read Hebrews chapter 11. Just look at verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, who talk about the people who are passionate for God and who recognize that they're looking for a city whose builder and maker are God, and they are nothing but pilgrims, strangers, and visitors here. That's just the truth. It's like, well, I know, but you still got to function. You've got to function in pursuing God, because what you're setting up is eternity. You might be setting up an IRA, and that's fantastic, but you need an IRA in heaven that's really fantastic, okay? No comparisons, are there? No. You can't compare now to what eternity brings. Paul said that. I mean, the Holy Spirit communicated that through his word. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. You thought this was all going to be roses. Ha! You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, for you and I, God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere, because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the Scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I'm going to say something that's really bold, but I'm going to be really careful. It may be that the phone, by the grace of God and by prayers and many other things, is actually working on the texts. Ho, ho! I better go get some lotto tickets. No, I'm kidding. All right. Here's our first trivia question. It was a joke. Unless I win. No. All right. So here's the first trivia question. Who said, the Old Testament now, not a great person. Who said, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive? Who said, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive? Who said that? If you think you know the answer, we invite you to reach out to us in our one of three ways. Number one is to call in 972-445-0770, and then you get to talk to amazing Jennifer. You can also text 214-210-8483. That looks to be working right now. And then you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. That's David at hemustincrease.org. Before we go anywhere else, I want to make sure we do our DNA, just because DNA is important to remind us. So I saw that there was some news, and it looks like they're going to be, and I'm not really into the politics of most things, but I guess they're going to talk about going door to door, knocking on people's doors, saying, you know, take the shot, or guess, I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be kind of weird. I'm more concerned about Jehovah Mimes. Jehovah Witness Mimes, you ever hear about those guys? They go out your door and they stand there and they knock, and you don't know they're there while they're knocking because they never actually touch your door. Then you open the door and there they are.
Okay.
Poor Jennifer. You offered to do this.
Tierra, come back.
All right, let's do our DNA. That's right, Jehovah Mimes. Our DNA. DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Excellent. N is never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Even if you don't get it all, he knows what he's talking about. And you never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, or he'll be ashamed of you. And then A, always be ready to serve. There you go.
I'll have it by tomorrow.
I think you will. Yeah. Okay. But then you won't have to do the show again for like 6 months.
True.
That's true. Okay. But it probably won't change. I'm just letting you know. All right. The trivia question is, who said, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, every daughter you shall save alive? To help you guys out a little bit, Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Okie dokie. Here we go. I want to go into the rest of this text. There's some really amazing stuff. So we just talked about the fact that Paul, in his loving kindness through the Holy Spirit, the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, which means that the verbal plenary process, for those who are theologically inclined, is that the Holy Spirit spoke everything that the heart and mind of God wanted to communicate, but did not eliminate the personality of the person. You understand that? So it's not errant. It's not in error. There's nothing wrong. It's exactly what God wanted to be said without the person just being a dictation machine. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we talked about the first three words, for you died. Oh, boy. And your life is now hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. Most likely making some kind of reference to the second coming and our connection there. We'll talk about that in a second. Then the next verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, the components of your earthly nature. You're going to have to get a little theology in this because you got to understand this. This is really important. First and foremost, Jesus is our life. You know those fantasies you have about being the world's greatest baseball player or being a CEO or being the greatest mother that ever existed on planet Earth or all that kind of stuff? That's fantastic, okay? Except for that fantasy or that pursuit that you have, as great as that sounds, it actually needs to be Jesus. That doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to be the best CEO you can be, to be the best baseball player you can be, to be the best mom you can be. Of course, you should give that effort. Of course, you should put into that. But you should put even more effort into making sure that your life is Jesus-centered. What we say is Christ-centric. Jesus-centered. So many schools, the school curriculum for private Christian schools call themselves Christ-centric, which is Christ-centered. And so our lives need to be that way. And Paul says, when Christ, who's your life? Now, what does that mean, who's your life? It means he's not a hobby. Okay, that is a big problem for a lot of people who claim faith. It's a hobby. Christianity is a hobby for them. And so this is not a hobby. This is an everyday engagement with the power and the wisdom and the anointing and the presence and the love and the discipline and the joy of God. It's not part-time. Christianity is not a part-time add-in, so that it's not seasoning on your steak. Are you kidding? Christianity is your ability to eat in the first place. That's the whole point. And so Paul says, look, when Christ, who is your life, appears, this is supposed to be our life. And people are like, well, I know, Dave, but you can't really say that should be my life. Well, the four kinds of sowers that Jesus made reference to, one hears the word and doesn't respond to it. The other hears the word, thinks it's great, and has a fly land on their nose and freaks out. The other person thinks the word is fantastic, takes it in, but the cares of this world just consume them, so there's nothing that ever is produced. And then the other person receives it, and it's in a soil of 30, 60, or 100 fold. You don't want to be one of the first three. You want to be the fourth one. Okay. Maybe you don't do everything perfectly. I get it. But you got to be responsive and engaged with the word. You can only do that if you're really serious about the Lord. I mean, come on. You guys know that. And so then Paul says this, and this is another thing that Colossians is great theologically, but personally, it's very challenging. Then he says this, put to death, therefore, the components or the elements or the mechanisms of your earthly nature. So for some of you out there, you've probably heard, like I was making reference to, a Texas teacher who does a lot of, our old self's been crucified, there's never an issue there. But that's wrong, because what he's not catching is that you are positionally crucified to your flesh, but you are practically still beating it. And so Paul goes, hey, you know that old you? You got to beat him up. You got to stop. You got to stop. And in fact, in Ephesians, it says that it grows. It's positionally in the mind of God and in position elements, it is crucified. In the practicality, it is still being worked out of your system. Let me explain that just real quickly. You are saved. Justification. That's your past. You are being saved. That's God making you look like Jesus. That's sanctification. You will be saved. That's going to be freedom from the presence of sin. There'll be no evil. There'll be no anything. That's glorification. All three of those are three tenses of salvation. Justification, sanctification, glorification. From a justification point of view, your old man is dead. From the sanctification point of view, you got to beat him up. From the glorification point of view, it'll be gone. That's just how it works. If you can get that statement, you can skip 2 years of Bible college. Just skip it. Just go to the next thing. And the reason that's important is because Paul says on more than five occasions, hey, you know that old nature? You know that old you? Yeah, you got to put him in a headlock and beat him on the head. Bam, 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 bam. And how do you beat the old nature? Watch this. You do this by walking in the new you with help from the Holy Spirit who lives inside you. And then you're thinking, well, if I mess up, am I not saved? No. What happens if I mess up? You say sorry, because you might not be separated from God from your sin, but you will still be damaged by your sin. So you ask God to heal. You ask God to help you. Remember, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In James, that's why it says that. And so what you got to get is that there's the old you, and you got to keep the old you in track. And have you ever noticed, and I have, that when you every once in a while visit the old neighborhood, that the old you is just as bad as he ever was, if not worse. And I used this illustration before, and I think Don, the owner of the station, heard it, and I think it really helped him maybe picture or, you know, kind of visualize what's going on. Your old nature is like a junkyard dog that's starving. It's dying, okay, in that practicality. But what happens to a dog that doesn't eat? It growls louder and louder and bites as hard as it can. It does whatever it can. That's your old nature. It does the same thing. It's like, he's winning. No. That's a good way to understand it. Good way to grasp what kind of war. This is why the scripture talks about the warfare between the spirit and the flesh. This is why the scripture talks about the warfare that takes place between the old you and the new you. Positionally, it's done. Practically, you're fighting the war, right? Kind of like that World War II illustration, I think. I think they said once they took the beaches at Normandy, once they had a certain – they were going to win the war no matter what. But there were still many more people that died, and they had to mop up to finish the war. So it's like strategically it takes place one place. Its manifestation comes later. Got it. You know, you could get charged $10,000 for that if you go to Bible college. I'm just saying you could. All right, let me answer the trivia. I know that's a lot of theology early in the afternoon. That's okay. It'll work for you. This is the question. Who said, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive? And that was the no good dude Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, when he was trying to control Israel because they were multiplying so much, and he was afraid that they might take over the country. So he had all the boys executed. That's how we got to the whole Moses story. That's how it all started. Isn't that cool? All right, take a short break and then come back. We got the Book of Acts coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.